Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's IRTPB call on Tuesday, the 13th of July, we have Michaela Nalon, George Kirikos, Mikey O'Connor, James Bladel, Michael Collins, Paul Diaz. From staff, we have Marika Konings, myself, Peace LaBruba White. We have apologies from Bob Mountain, Matt Merlin, Chris Chaplow, Boudoir Chambé, and Kevin Erdman will be joining us 30 minutes late. So can please remind everyone to set their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Michaela.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're all better than I am. Right then. As you know, the comments period was opened, and several people, including myself, George, and Bob, contacted a few people to help get the word out that the comment period was opened, and thanks to George and Bob for helping with that. For the record, Barbara Steele is on the call, but George is concerned that she wasn't on the roll call, and that Anil George has also joined. With respect to the public comment, anyways, anybody got anything else to say on this? Do we need to extend the deadline is a question that we also need to look at. Does anybody feel that extending the deadline would be a good idea, a bad idea, or no opinion whatsoever? Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a note, because in principle the deadline as prescribed in the bylaws is 20 days, but I've talked to legal counsel and said if there's a strong demand from the working group to extend it, taking into account that maybe it's holiday periods, or if there are requests, for example, from constituencies that are working on statements and feel they would need more time, I think it's definitely something that we could consider. So it's a question for the group.
Okay, George, and then Mikey.
George here. At the end of May, when I first joined, I suggested that it be extended until after Labor Day, and maybe a week after Labor Day, so I would support that.
So, George, what's Labor Day?
September, first Monday in September.
That's in Europe, it's
in
May. Okay. Mikey?
This is Mikey. I was just curious how many we've gotten. Actually, I'm wondering.
Comments?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
One from Jeff Williams. That's George speaking.
Thanks, George. I should probably, I look like I'm the only BC guy. I should probably ping the BC and see if they want to do a constituency statement on this. I hadn't thought about it until just now. So a little extension would be kind of nice.
Okay, so we have two in favor of an extension? Is there anybody who is opposed to the idea of an extension? I'll take that silence to mean no. On the basis that we have two people... James, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not really opposed to an extension, but just wary of the overall calendar of this group and knowing that there are three or four more like it, lined up behind it. So,
okay, but what's that mean in real terms? Are you saying that we should extend it or not extend it?
I think that any extensions need to be mindful that this group needs to conclude so that other groups can begin. So we would probably want to extend it, that's fine, but we should be very wary of extending it months at a time as opposed to let's extend it a couple of weeks and see what we get back in terms of feedback.
Okay. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to add, because I think from experience that staff has had with public comment periods is that I think most people just note in their calendar when the deadline is and then basically submit the comments either on the day before or on the day of the deadline. So... I don't know if we would extend it by 2 months, if it means that people will be working for 2 months on the comments or submitting it, or to just, wait until the deadline approaches and then, gather their comments and submit them the day of the deadline. So I would have as well concerns in posting it out you know, for too far unless we really have a good indication that it means that people need that time to actually work on their comments, because, you know, the other question would be, in the meantime, what does the working group do? Because normally we take those comments and use that as a platform to work on the final report.
Yeah.
I know we still have some issues that we want to cover in further detail, but at a certain point of time, there is a next step that's required to work towards a final report, which includes review of public comments received and addressing those appropriately.
George?
Back in May, Marika had made the point that August is customary holiday period for Europe. So that's why I suggested in September, because it also captures the North American holidays up to Labor Day when school returns and people are more serious about doing work. The question was about what to do in the meantime. Well, short of withdrawing the report, one thing is that the report was very deficient, in my view, in terms of data collection. And so perhaps a poll or some other way of collecting actual hard data to back up some of the points in the report would be helpful. And that could be, that could complement the actual comment period, that, you know, not only can people submit, you know, long detailed comments, they can, you know, fill out this poll, you know, are you concerned about, you know, being able to transfer quickly? Are you able to, are you concerned about, you know, domain hijacking? Because the amount of actual hard evidence on domain hijacking isn't something that the registrars appear to have shared. So,
so in essence, what are you asking for, George?
Supporting the extension of the time period, that, you know, extending it into early August wouldn't make much sense, given that Marika had said that August is the customary time for European holidays, so is extending it into August going to make any difference at all? I would say very little.
Just one second. Marika, what date is will the public comment period close under the current schedule?
I think it's 25th of July, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, I mean, extending it doesn't mean that people cannot submit comments now. I mean, it doesn't mean that if we extend it to, you know, whatever date, it doesn't mean that it closes at this stage, or anyone is able to submit their comments already now as well.
Okay. So if we were to extend it by, let's just say, hypothetically, 2 weeks, that would take us through to, say, what, the 7th of, around the 7th, the end of the first week of August or something like that? Is that correct? Okay. George, we cannot extend it until after September 13th. I can't see how we could do that.
George, how can one extend it at all then? You know, why is it somehow an arbitrary amount?
Well, no, I mean, it's just that for us to have had it extended through till the middle of September, we would have had to have opened it much later, because otherwise you're looking at having it open for basically 2 months.
And this is Marika. I think it's worth noting as well that there are several public comment periods that are ending around the same time as ours, including several related to the new GTLD program. And I think, you know, we might want to be realistic there as well, that if people have to choose between one and the other, they probably will first, you know, finish their comments on the new GTLD program. So that's why, indeed, extending it for 1 or 2 weeks might make sense in that context as well, that those that have spent their time working on those comments then have some time to actually look at the IRTP public comment period.
Okay, Mikey?
This is Mikey. I just think the BC list, and we'll know pretty soon whether they want to prepare a constituency statement. Certainly a couple of week delay would be fine. I think we could even shoehorn it into the current period, but I certainly don't see a need to go much longer than a couple more weeks. So I'd support a smaller extension.
Okay, so you would suggest an extension of how long? Could you give me an exact...
You know, Marika's, you know, the idea of extending it a couple of weeks...
So 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then. Options on the table. No extension. Extended by 2 weeks. And I'm afraid I can't really see the... I'm sorry, George, but I think extending it to about 2 months is not really going to help us. So extending it by 2 weeks, does anybody object to that idea? Anybody? George?
Yeah, I just wanted to go on the record that I do object to the short length of 2 weeks, given that we do have conflicting comment periods, and there's other people on holidays, people who have a life that aren't going to suddenly burst into ICANN comments when they're on vacation.
So you think extending it by 2 weeks is a good idea or a bad idea? Sorry.
Bad in that it's not enough, that it should be longer.
Okay. But do you have an issue with extending it by 2 weeks?
No.
Okay.
Just the length.
Okay. Does anybody think that we should not extend it at all? Okay, then. Based on the on what we've heard today, I would suggest that we extend it by 2 weeks, if that were possible. If anybody has any other thoughts on that, let's continue the discussion on the mailing list and see what the options are. Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda. Before we move on to the next item on the agenda, are any of you planning to take holidays between now and the end of August? Apart from Marika, who I know about. Marika, I know about you taking holidays. Mikey is, Paul is. Nobody else? George is. Michael Collins, you have hand up. Go ahead.
But he's on mute. Are you muted, Michael?
I think he's taken his hand down. Okay. About half of you are saying that you are planning to take holidays. Just trying to work out if it is a good idea to due to the fact that, well, we're going to have... The common period is going to be open probably until the end of the first week of August if we extend it by 2 weeks. Based on the fact that we will have a couple of calls before then... would anybody be opposed to us not having calls for the first couple of weeks of August, as quite a few of you are probably going to be on holidays? Mikey has a hand up. Go ahead, Mikey.
The other one that you might think about, the Labor Day weekend is a pretty big deal in the U.S. That's one that Monday might... Well, we're not on Monday, so it might be okay.
So what dates... Could you speak to me about dates, please? Because I'm not familiar with U.S.-specific holidays, apart from your Independence Day, which I do admit to knowing about.
somebody help me. I can't remember.
George, here, it's
September 6th.
Yeah, so... But, you know, I keep forgetting that this is a Tuesday call, so I'm not sure. It'd be the day after...
Okay, as it's a Tuesday call, I'll ignore it.
Yeah, never mind.
But please bear with us that people like myself and some of the other Europeans on this call, I know we're in a minority, but I have no idea about American holidays apart from what's that one I know about? Independence Day. Do you have any other holidays I can think of? No, that's about the
Christmas.
Only one.
Come on, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, I have no idea. I don't even know which month that is.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
I don't even know which month that is. Is that October or November?
November.
Okay.
October in Canada.
How about Columbus Day?
Kevin, you're pretty bad now.
That's okay. It's okay. Now, see, the thing is, the only Irish holiday that is anyway serious, you all know about. So I'm quite comfortable.
No, that's true.
The green beer holiday.
Exactly, because everybody in Ireland drinks green beer, and you all know that. Okay, I would then humbly suggest that we take a break, take the first 2 weeks of August off. So, because apart from anything else, if with common periods and everything else, plus people being on holidays, I don't think it would be an unreasonable that some people may want to have their Tuesday mornings or afternoons free. James, go ahead.
Yeah, McKelly, this is James speaking. And while I'm not necessarily concerned about the absence of meetings, and I could certainly use that time on my calendar, I would hope that we would that any kind of a hiatus from teleconferences would be accompanied by an increase in use of the mailing list, so that we can preserve whatever momentum we have as far as a working group and getting this effort wound down.
Good point. George?
Yeah, I'd echo that concern. I've been trying my hardest to get people to, you know, to participate on the mailing list, asking questions that are open-ended that people can discuss, but hasn't been fruitful to date.
Well, you've had some replies. I mean, don't be too negative now. Come on. You've had a few replies. Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda. Charter item issue C. Whether special provisions are needed for a change of registrant when it occurs near the time of a change of registrar. The policy does not currently deal with change of registrant, which often figures in hijacking cases. And you'll see that, yes, I think it was yesterday or the day before, James posted to the list on this. James, do you want to walk us through what you were talking about on the list?
Sure. I mean, very briefly, I think that the charter question makes reference to change of registrant, which is somewhat undefined in that, you know, there is no policy basis for defining a change of registrant. So perhaps that's one of the tasks this group could take upon itself, is to define a change of registrant and find out what the most appropriate place is, and particularly how it differs from just the updating or modification of WHOIS information, which is, I think, defined within a variety of different agreements. So at what point does the right field or enough numerous fields change to where you are no longer talking about a WHOIS update and you're now talking about a change of registrant? And I just put that out for definitional work for this group, so that we can proceed from a common framework.
Okay. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Mikey?
Sorry, McKelly, if I could just jump real quickly. I put some questions down towards the bottom of that email that might help crystallize that issue a little bit better.
Yeah, I'll just go through the questions you had put in were, what is a change of registrant? How does it differ from a routine update / modification of the record published in WHOIS? What fields must be modified to indicate that a change of registrant has occurred? Can optional fields be included in this list? Does ICANN need a defined change of registrant process or definition in the IRTP or elsewhere? And just as a note, some CCTLDs define this function as a trade. And the last one is, are GTLD registrars obligated to offer change of registrant operations? And how does this impact their respective registration agreements? Mikey and then Kevin.
Thanks, Michele. It's Mikey. I thought that the definition of change of registrant was already embedded in the ICANN policy. I'm surprised that it's not. Is that really true, James? That they're really, it's not called out? That's really interesting. If it's not, I think this is pretty important.
I'm hoping someone else in the queue can point me to some glaring omission where it is defined, but I'm not able to locate specific language.
Interesting. Thanks for bringing that up.
George here, it's not in the transfers policy, but it, I'm sure there's change of registrant somewhere in ICANN policies somewhere.
Okay, just before I go to go back to the queue, does anybody specifically know of where a change of registrant is defined within ICANN policy? Anywhere?
The person I would immediately, this is Mike again, the person I would ask is Olaf.
Okay.
If he were on the call, he would be able to not only tell us where, but probably quote it. He's really familiar with this.
And this is Marika. I'm happy to check with Olaf and also with our legal counsel if they're aware of any other areas where this is defined.
Okay, going back to the queue. Mikey, any other thoughts or comments?
No, that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay, Kevin and then George.
I now have two comments. But, okay. The first comment is, when we're looking at these definitions, maybe one of the things that we should look back on is our purpose, which is the case of hijackings, and then see if we can, through historical evidence, see what the pattern of actual transactions are in known hijackings to put together what that definition, what those definitions ought to be, since we're obviously trying to focus on a particular type of change of registrant. And my second point is that I just Googled ICANN change of registrant definition, and what came up was from the registration accreditation agreement, there is a pretty close reference in 4.2.9 that says basically is new and revised specifications and policies may be established for the following topics, and then it's in 4.2.9 says the transfer of registration data upon change in registrar sponsoring one or more registered names. Although registered names appears to be the only defined term within the definition.
But does that refer to, but we're talking about change of registrant, not registrar.
Mm-hmm. But it does say the transfer of registration
data
upon a change in registrar sponsoring one or more registered names. So I think that the term upon a change in registrar is analogous to what we're doing, right? What we're trying to define. So, my only conclusion from that is, if this is the best that Google can do amongst all the ICANN stuff, I would agree that it probably is undefined in all the various documents.
Okay, so you agree it is undefined. George?
Yeah, I just want to step back on the one, does ICANN need a defined change registrant process? In the manner that it affects the transfers policy, I don't think that there's any special need to handle change of registrant as a special case. Like, it should be a normal thing because people normally have change of registrants when they sell a name or transfer a name, you know, corporate mergers, et cetera. So it should not be considered an exception. It should be something that's a standard practice that should be, you know, perhaps considered in the policy, but not as a special case. But stepping back one step further, I think that, you know, if there is a secure process for the registrant change, then that kind of solves the domain hijacking issue entirely. We don't need to worry about having special cases for, you know, if the name, you know, if there's a registrant change, we, you know, would lock the name for 60 days and things like that.
Okay, so anybody else want to step in? James? Oh, sorry, Mikey. Then James.
Mikey first.
This is Mikey again. I think that James may have... I'm still sort of getting over the notion that it actually isn't written down. And I think that it's really important that we get that answer. and see if there isn't that. I'm not sure how that relates to the scope of our working group. It's probably a bit broader scope. We may want to just raise this as kind of a gating issue for the work we're doing, but kick it upstairs rather than trying to solve it. But in terms of the kind of continuous drumbeat for me on for consistency and the need and the helpfulness of it, it would certainly make sense to me to raise this as something we ought to get an answer on and get defined. Everybody kind of knows the rules of the road and the lay of the land.
James?
Hi, James speaking. Just a couple of thoughts here. First is that I do think it kind of falls in the lap of this working group, Mikey, just because it's been referenced in our charter questions. And one of our charter questions is predicated on us having an answer for this, whether or not this, is a defined operation. Secondly, George made mention in the chat regarding that routine whois or name server updates are also not defined. I don't think those are defined in the policy documents like the RAA, but they are defined as obligations in the various registrar agreements, or RAs. But I'd have to check on that. And then, so finally, would be that I would offer to take this list of questions back to ICANN policy, and that would be, Olaf or well, Marika can probably help us navigate internally on who ICANN policy and ICANN legal would be best to respond to this. But I would say that I think that we need a definition here. In order to complete this charter question, and I do think that it falls within the scope of this working group to come up with that if we find that there's a void there currently.
Mikey, your hand is still up.
Yeah, this is Mikey. I certainly wouldn't struggle mightily against including it in scope. It's just that the definition of what constitutes a change of registrant is broader than just inter-registrar transfers, seems to me. But it's fine with me to go ahead and proceed, because I agree, James, it is a gating definition for what we need to do. And I think the only thing I'd do is sort of give the council a heads up that we're doing this, and if it drives anybody crazy, they should let us know or something like that.
Okay. One of the things James put in his email was the concept of a trade. Is there a definition of that, do you know, James?
Yes, actually, Michele, nice segue. I was going right to that with this next hand here. But there is a concept of a trade defined in some CCTLDs. But I wanted to qualify that statement by saying those are also CCTLD registries that have direct interaction with registrants. For example, they will require the registrant to form an account on the registry's page and actually keep their data current there as well. So maybe a trade is not appropriate within the GCLD space, but it is something that is at least an analog that we can push off of.
Okay. George?
George here. I just want to be clear that I would support that, if we wanted to define change of registrant, that would be fine with me, because it would, make things simpler if we had working definitions. And if we wanted to formally define, what is a domain trade, that would, I would definitely support it, because, at the end of the day, we all want to make secure transfers from party A to party B. And so if we can make that formal, make it secure, and you know, reduce hijackings that way. I'm all for that.
Okay. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. So I've already forwarded the question to ICANN Legal as well as Olaf for some feedback. And to George's post in the Adobe Connect, I have forwarded that question as well, but actually the person in the legal team was on holiday last week. So I'm still following up on that and hope to get some feedback on that hopefully later this week or at least ahead of the next call.
Okay. Right then. And no, since I think we're going to be waiting on a few replies from other people before we can move further forward with this. But I think James has asked some good questions. So I will set you all a little bit of homework. Could you all please take the 5 minutes to have a read of the email that James posted yesterday with his questions? And if you have any answers or any thoughts on that, please reply to the list so that we can move forward with that. Now, another thing that I just want to follow up on is, excuse me, is with respect to George's posts about the registrar lock status, which is covered in issue D. And yes, there is a certain amount of overlap with issue E. I believe, George, you're still waiting on a reply from ICANN Compliance. Would that be correct?
Yeah, because I think to date they've looked at the word opt-in, but they haven't looked at the word voluntarily enough.
Okay.
That would support my point.
Okay. Marika, do you know? I think they were on. I think David Geiser was on holidays last week. Do you know?
Yeah, this is Marika. I said I think David was there, but actually Dan Halloran was out of the office last week, and I know David was following up with him internally, and they would come back to me. So I'll send a reminder note to see where things stand.
Okay, so George, we will try and get you an answer for those queries. Okay.
Okay, I did, George. I just wanted to point out that not only was James asking questions, I was asking questions on the mailing list too last week. If people want to answer,
okay, so
those, that would help.
So, which one could you refresh our memories quickly, please?
For example, do you need a 60-day lock if you're able to securely transfer the domain name or do a change of registrant? Like, what purpose does the 60-day lock if you're able to do a 60-day if you're able to do a secure registrant transfer, registrant change?
Okay.
I'm basically trying to attack the root of the problem by asking the direct questions.
Okay. Does anybody have any thoughts on any of those things at the moment, or could you have a look at what George has posted? Obviously, George, if we could define what a change of registrant was, this would help as well. So if we have a definition as to what constitutes a change of registrant, it might make answering or not answering those questions a little bit easier. Does anybody have any other matters they wish to raise at this time? Nothing? No? Okay. If anybody have any other issues, now is the time to speak, or else I'll call this meeting to a close. Okay, then. I'll call this meeting to a close, and please follow up on the mailing list. Thanks, everybody.